Welcome to episode 2 of Love Bravely. We're going to talk about some uncomfortable conversations. Blame, shame, taking accountability, how we relate in relationships. So I hope you're open, and let's get to it.
Let's go. That was great. I loved it.
My heart is like boom, boom, boom. I don't know why. It's the good. Funniest thing. I'm like, morning.
Hi, we're back. What do you think of this set?
I love it. I love the shovel.
Yeah, the shovel really adds a lot, doesn't it? I don't know if you can even see it in the shop, but there's a shovel back here. We thought about getting a fire going, but there's a the sun is coming up really quickly, and so we're like, oh, we gotta hurry up, otherwise the sun's gonna be in the shot. So we're kind of
What I think is really funny is we think about these things either the night before or the morning of, like literally an hour before we're going to film. It's like, hey, why don't we do it in this spot? And if the sun's not in a certain space, then we can do it, or we can do it over
here. We'll do it elsewhere.
But we don't ever prepare for it.
No. So that's kind of fun.
I don't think I'd want to do it any other way.
Yeah, I imagine it'll be a surprise for the viewers too.
Yeah,
like a fun little surprise. Like, where are they at this time?
Where are they going to be now? And the birds and, yeah, out in nature.
Similar. The topics are also similar. Like the night before, it's like the other day we were having a conversation about communication, specifically between like a couple, like romantic, but this could apply to anything.
Yeah.
And Nicole goes, I got an idea for a podcast. Communication. Because communication's key. So today we're talking about communication. We're talking about the importance of communication, especially between couples. We're talking about expectations, self-awareness, feedback, ego. Pride?
Yeah.
Where do you even start? Talk to me about the importance of communication.
People say that communication is key to a relationship,
yeah.
Right? I do believe that.
I
also heard that it's not just communication that is key. It's comprehension of the communication.
Yeah.
Because it's like we can speak the same language, right?
Yeah.
But we're not speaking the same language because what's in our own minds is really how we're perceiving
it's what very good.
We're saying.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's funny because I've lived overseas and I've lived some different places. And when I was in Thailand, the people very obviously spoke a different language than me.
Yeah.
They're speaking Thai, speaking English. But when I went to Australia, there was so much of a language I didn't understand, even though they were speaking, they're speaking English. But they just say different things.
Yeah.
So apply that to a couple or like a relationship. You come from one background. I come from another.
Yeah.
The way we speak, it doesn't necessarily, just because we're both speaking English doesn't mean we can comprehend or understand what that other person is saying.
Right. So for me, it's how do we get to that place? So are you just supposed to find somebody that speaks your language? Because that would be really hard to do in life. Like that would be that somebody would have to know my background and been through the similar things in my background or had the same type of, you know, experiences, maybe trauma issues or whatever we want to call it today, that you would be able to understand. But we don't.
I think it's someone who's willing to learn your language.
Willing to learn.
Yeah.
Where I think the two mesh together is the willingness to try and understand to the best of your ability. And then as a person, I have to get to know myself so well to understand how to communicate my feelings.
Yeah.
And if I'm a person that's not really in tune to myself, in tune to really how I feel,
yeah,
whatever is going to come out of my mouth, out of communication, is going to be either my truth or it's going to be come out of fear.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be come out of a lie. It's going to be come out of... space or where I'm at.
Yeah, not well-formulated thoughts. You
right.
know, this is, we talk about this all the time, journaling. Something journaling does is bring self-awareness. It's like, as humans, we are constantly feeling just a massive amount of emotion, and we maybe don't even necessarily know what that emotion is or where it comes from.
No.
But we know we're feeling something.
Yeah.
And journaling helps you process that.
Yeah.
And in the context of a relationship, it would help you understand how to communicate what you're feeling to your partner.
Absolutely. And I think for me, journaling was a way for me to get all the busyness. Hopefully you won't get stung.
A little bee.
All the busyness out of my head. I tend to think a lot.
Yeah.
I tend to want to process life in my own head and kind of find a solution, right? Instead of talking. From growing up the way that I did, I didn't watch two parents communicate. My dad didn't speak to my mother for 30 some years. So, and my mom didn't get remarried. Mm. So what I witnessed was my mom by herself, and she didn't date. So I didn't get to see two people interact. Yeah. I was able to see them when I went to my friend's house or, you know, my siblings were dating people. But still, that's not a mature love yet, right?
Yeah.
Because they're
totally
they're young.
Totally.
So for me, I was trying to discover how does this thing work?
Yeah.
How do two people work with each other? And it's been really challenging for me because I haven't been able to, I can communicate on paper what I'm feeling, but it feels like in my life, I haven't been able to articulate what I really feel to another person, probably because I don't trust them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Do you feel like over time you've gotten that something that is A, harmed, like, or hurt relationships you've been in? Or
yes,
and B, do you feel like you're coming to a place where you're getting better at that?
Yeah.
Is this something you can learn? Even though your entire childhood was not really experiencing that or seeing that happen, it's something that can be learned, right?
Absolutely. You have to want to be better.
You
have to want to learn. I love to learn. I have a whole library in my office full of self-help books. And I've read every one of them. And it's like I put the date in there that I'm in. Sometimes I've reread, you know, them over and over. But it's not until you actually...
Sometimes you need to read them over and over.
You do, right? It's that remembering, like, Because I think at the end of the day, we all want to be... We talk about this. We talked about this for years, seen and heard.
Yeah.
Right? We want to be seen for who we are, and we want to be heard.
It's the best thing in the world to feel seen and heard.
Yeah. And I don't want people to agree with me. I want them to tell me how they feel.
Yeah.
And so I think... When you get to that place in your life where you really start working on yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like in a relationship, my job is to work on myself and the other person's job is to work on themselves.
Yeah.
And then our best versions come together and that's when it works.
Yeah.
But when you have one person that's working on themselves and the other person's like, I got nothing to work on.
Yeah.
I've done all my stuff. Like, I'm good. I don't think we're ever done.
Yeah.
Because we keep evolving as we get older and we are like, I have these aha moments here and there. And it's like the last year's version of me is not the version of me today.
Totally.
I can say that. And 3 years ago and even like a week ago.
Yeah.
Because if you keep moving towards that path of learning more about yourself and not even just learning, you're really willing to open up to see, I'll call it the dark shadow side or the darker side of us that we really don't want to see.
Yeah.
We have a perception of ourselves like, I'm kind, I'm this, I'm that. And we know that by what people tell us, like, oh, you're the nicest, kindest person, or you're this giving or that. And I'm sitting back and we get to be told that and we kind of believe that, right?
Yeah.
But they don't see the other versions of us.
Totally.
So it's really not fair. I shouldn't say it's not fair. It's only recognizing that that's what our feedback is from other people. But then we have this other stuff, too, that when we get in relationships with people and we learn to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
They see the worst in us, right?
Yeah.
And they see the best in us. And the best in us comes from starting a relationship with anybody. We work so hard.
Fun, yeah.
We work so hard. And, you know, we're in that, you know, dopamine and, oh my gosh, this is so fun.
Yep.
And then life gets real.
Yeah.
And that's where you discover, whoa, is this person for me or not for me?
Yeah.
Can I deal with this person's stuff? And that's where communication comes in.
Yeah.
Communication seems to be so easy when you're starting to get to know somebody, right?
Totally.
Because you're into it.
Yeah.
I'm into what you're saying. I'm into you. And then you realize that they're not perfect.
Yeah.
They're not.
And no one is.
That person that when you first discover or you're first learning to get to know of.
Yeah.
What they're about. They're not going to like, hey, by the way, I have all this stuff to deal with.
Yeah. Well, it's not that the person they're portraying isn't who they are. It's
absolutely
just only a part of who they are.
It's pretty much their best version of
and
them.
And then as you learn different, you know, I think there's levels to connection. It's like there's the surface that can just be like, oh, we kind of think the same things. We get along. We have fun together. And then it's like you uncover some of the more real stuff. And then it's like, oh, do we actually still, can we still align in these different areas and be happy together?
Sure. And I think anybody really can. I don't think it's picking the right partner. I think it's picking and choosing the person that is willing to learn more about you.
Yeah.
And
accept those parts about
you. All those parts about you. But they can't do that unless you learn to accept the parts, you know, in you as well.
Yeah.
So if I'm not able to accept all those kind of parts in me that I don't really like.
Yeah.
Or that maybe I would really want to steer from, then they're only getting the parts of me that I'm only willing to expose.
Yeah.
You know, and there comes a point in some people's lives where you're like, I really just want to expose everything of myself and see if they really
see what happens.
And when that happens, you kind of realize, oh, who's for me, who's against me, or I wouldn't want to use the word against, but who's really for me and willing to, you know, hold my hand through it and say, it's okay that you're that, because I too have a lot of stuff and baggage. But the people that are not willing to see their own baggage, they're like, if I go with you down this journey, then I have to expose my stuff. And if I do, it's not that they think that they're better or anything. It's just that I'm going to have to face things that I don't want to face. And I'm not ready to face those things. And I think that's when you realize in relationships that, you know what? I want to continue this path and you're okay where you're at. And that is okay.
Yeah.
But I can't stay there because I want to continue to grow.
I sometimes think about people who aren't willing to grow. And I'm like, well, growth is hard and it hurts. And so maybe they got the right idea. Maybe just staying where they're at is totally fine. But at the same time, I think there's so much joy and so much a deepening of life, a deepening of connection, a deepening of the most fulfilling parts of your life are found in that, even though it's painful, that growth. And so I think sometimes people who aren't, you know, kind of the seekers of growth or wanting to continually grow, I'm like, man, you got the right idea. This is painful. This is hard. But at the same time, I think what you get on the other side of that pain is so worth it.
I couldn't agree more. And I went for a walk with a friend last night, and she's, you know, she's in the pocket of growth, and she just says, all I do is cry. Mm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so good. Because I'm like, that's your soul wanting to be like comforted to me. That just is like, that's really good place to be in. For me, I've been on my floor multiple times. I will just be walking around the house and I feel something and I'm like, why do I want to cry? Mm. And then I've just learned to tell myself, just let it like feel it.
Let it come.
Just let it come. And I will just lay on the floor and I'm like, I just cry.
Yeah.
And for something, I'm like, I feel much better. I don't know what that is, but.
And how good is it to do that without judging yourself or going like, what is wrong with me? Why am I so emotional? Why am I crying? You just go.
So what?
Like.
It's here.
It's me. There's no, you know, like if I can't be comfortable with me, how can others be comfortable with me? Or how can I be comfortable being myself in front of others?
Yeah. Because if I'm having a day and I'm in a relationship with somebody, we live together and I have that moment show up, I'm going to like want to hide myself.
Yeah.
And I'm going to want to go into a room and cry, or I'm just going to shove it down like I used to do.
Yeah.
Because I thought that kind of stuff was weak.
Yeah.
I just thought that, oh my gosh, exposing my feelings or exposing my truth of what's really going on in my mind. Who's going to like that? It's going to be too much. Because I thought for me, I judged myself and I was like, it's too much for me. How can anybody else handle it?
Yeah. I think there's been times in a relationship where I've lost someone because I exposed too much of myself.
Sure.
Meaning I was vulnerable.
For them.
Yeah.
For them.
For them. And, you know, when I was younger, I think it always made me feel like there was something wrong with me.
Sure.
And I was like, what's wrong with me? This person doesn't want to accept me. And as I get older, I go, no, I actually was brave in exposing that side of myself. And this person just, they weren't willing to do that. But I do think also as I've gotten older, there's an appropriate time to expose that. And I don't think it has anything to do with, I think it has more to do with, there's no timeline of like, this is when on a timeline, it's a timeline of trust. So when you trust that person is when you should expose that side of yourself.
But the how do we know that, right? How do we, because when you start dating somebody, I think the way that they're reacting to us looks like we can trust them, right? Because they put so much effort into it. You're like, I can trust this person.
Yes.
I feel so vulnerable right now and I'm going to just, and then it's almost like you're in this euphoric state of, I can trust this person. I'm an, I feel comfortable willing to expose it. And then when you do, they're like, whoa, that's a lot for me. And then you shut down.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm too much. Yeah. Oh my gosh. You know, then that, that kind of like that shame comes in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's shame because it's like, I'm not enough for this person. Instead of saying, oh, you know what? Looking at it from a standpoint of logic of, you know, when you begin a relationship with somebody, it's always great and wonderful.
Yeah.
And that feeling that you have, it has to dissipate at some point. And that's when you kind of go.
You find the real.
You find the real, right? Like, yeah. Okay, can I? Like, you get it. You get to use that through communication, right? Yeah. And see what they're willing to. We become safe spaces for people.
Yeah.
Right? And then when we have a moment of, not a selfish moment, but a moment of having to deal with our own stuff within the relationship that has not been healed, then this ugly side gets exposed. Mm. And they're like, whoa, you know, I can't deal with that. Instead of just talking through it to say, whoa, you know what? I see that this other side of you came up. What's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on?
But you
on
both
there?
Have to be pretty self-aware.
You do have to be self-aware.
And not only self-aware, but then knowing how to communicate that self-awareness to your partner. Mm-hmm. Why do you think people compromise parts of who they are to be in a relationship?
It's
fear of being alone or fear of.
It's so funny you said that because that was what I was journaling about the other day. I was like, what part in me wants to accept that type of behavior? Or, you know, what part in me,
that's
because
wild.
It really comes back to me, has nothing to do with them. It's what part in me wants to, is willing to accept that.
Hmm.
And you have to go back, well, you have to go back into that and to figure out, where am I not feeling secure within myself of where I need that filled from somebody else? Because that's really what it is. It's the mirroring image of somebody showing us where we are not fulfilled in our own self.
Yeah.
I can't bring anything to a relationship and expect wholeness if that is not whole within me.
Yeah.
And I don't, I'm not saying that we have to be fully perfect.
Yep.
But we have to be in a relationship with somebody who says, hey, I see something going on here.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Instead of blaming you or shaming you and saying you, your behavior is radical or it's out of inappropriate. It's leaning in instead of pulling back.
Yeah.
How do we get to a place with men and women where we start to lean in and not taking it personally?
Yep.
And being offended by something instead of being like, instead of leaning in and saying, I have compassion for you. Well, in order to do that, we have to find compassion for ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's when you have to, you know, dig in and go, where is it that I'm have holes?
Yep.
Why don't I have compassion for myself there? Who did not give me compassion in that moment? And then it's really giving myself compassion.
I change that. Yeah.
And then I'm able to give you compassion because I'm going to see you through the lens of compassion.
Yeah.
But the lens that I'm viewing you is the lens of what's going on in my head.
Totally.
And you're viewing whatever I say, no matter, it doesn't matter if it's the sweetest thing that I've said to you, you're going to view it from your lens.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
Yep.
You can't change somebody else's lens until.
And lenses are different, completely different. We're male and female, and we just grew up totally in totally different households, you know?
Yep. And I think that's why communication is so important. It's coming together as two, I don't want to say broken people, but two flawed people and being in that space of, hey, I'm flawed too. Oh, you're flawed too. Of course we are.
Yeah.
But when you come into a relationship and you're like, I'm not flawed.
Yeah.
But you are. Let's talk about your flaws. Because I don't have flaws. And I know I've been in those situations where I was saying, oh, have you done your healing? Have you done this? Have you done that? And it wasn't that I thought I was better. It was, where are you at in your life? Are you willing to grow and heal?
Yeah.
Because I know that's what I need.
Yep.
And how I expressed myself in those moments, the feedback that I got was, oh, wow, you really think you know yourself. It's like you really, you got it all together. And I was like, well, I'm trying.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know myself. I only know myself to the extent of what I'm willing to know about myself.
The response, oh, you really think you know yourself, like that isn't helpful.
No, it's not helpful. It's
what did that shut you down?
Well, it made me feel like I was. It made me feel like I was misunderstood. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not really understanding what I'm trying to say. But it also taught me with where they're at in their mind.
Gosh, in a relationship, and I have been in a few, and I've rarely experienced this, but, and maybe it has to do with the people I pick, or maybe there was, I'm sure there was healing in myself that had to happen too, but it, I've really found a safe space to be able to say something like that without getting some sort of negative feedback. And it's like in relationships, it's like, oh my gosh, if your partner's saying that to you, it's like, that's a cheat code.
Yeah.
They're telling you exactly who they are.
Yeah.
And you should go like, wow, that isn't them. We're in this together.
Yep.
They just helped me understand them more mm-hmm. and better. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Why do you think that's not accepted? Because it requires then you to be in that same space or makes you at least feel.
I think people have walls.
Yeah.
I think people have been hurt.
Yeah.
And people, when they're hurt, they hurt other people or they don't want to, you know, deal with those things and say, they don't want to come to the terms that they're not perfect.
Totally.
Because I've been that person too, not even recognizing that I was doing it. So I don't blame anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm, you know, they did me dirty. They did me wrong. It's, oh, you know what? They're not quite there yet. They're not there to, we think that we are, but we're not until we really, really make friends with that thing.
Yeah.
Right. And be in, are able to look in the mirror and say, wow, I've just been living my life from this lens of wanting to be perfect, wanting to be this and wanting to be that, instead of coming from that place to say, you know, I'm not perfect, mm-hmm. but I'm going to do my best.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope my best is enough.
Yeah.
And
I hope this person has grace for me.
I hope that person gives me grace and mercy and compassion. Because, man, that's really going to help me get through the things that are going to come up in a relationship.
And be the best version of myself for them.
Yes.
So if this person is willing to give me grace, as long as I'm doing that too, we can help each other grow.
Mm-hmm.
I read the book 8 Rules of Love by Jay Shetty.
Oh, yeah.
Last summer. And it talked about a lot of that stuff. It was so good. It's like our partners are, what is it? Not, they're like our Buddha. They're our mirror. I can't remember the word he used. And it was like, they're our teacher or whatever.
Yeah, they
essentially.
Are. Yeah.
And it's like, if you're not picking a partner who is a good teacher, you're not going to be a good student. You know, you're not going to be able to learn and grow in the way that you would hope you can.
Yeah. And here's the thing that when you say that, I think when we have teachers and when it's really, really challenging for us, those are our best teachers because that shows us where we are most damaged and unhealed. And I think when I look at people, like they have great relationships, they've just figured it out. They've already, maybe they didn't have to go through all that stuff, but they've accepted each other the way that they are.
So, yeah.
That's beautiful. And I think that's the space where they continue to grow together in the same like path.
Yep. So like you said, you know, oftentimes when you are, there's someone's a good teacher, you're really being challenged.
Yeah.
You know, like if I want to get better in the gym, I want to lift with a trainer who's really hard on me because if my goal really is to get stronger, then I would need someone that does that. But in a relationship, it's not always fun to be challenged by your partner. like, you want to find peace in a relationship. You want to find safety in a relationship. And so how do you think you are can be a partner that challenges your significant other, but are also a place of, like, peace and safety?
So that would tell me and would indicate to me that if a person is not willing to be challenged, and I am, probably not the right partner for me at that time. Because what's going to happen is I'm okay being challenged, and I'm going to continue to learn from their challenges, but they won't learn from the things that are challenging them. And that's when you can say, hey, you know what? That's what I think causes conflict, right? So if I'm with, if I choose somebody that they are also, we are in this, on this pathway together, and it's saying, you know, when things come up that are challenging, I'm willing to be open to things that challenge me. If you say something, Nicole, that I feel is challenging, I'm going to ask the question, why?
Yeah.
Why is she saying that? Why does that feel so challenging to me? You have to be self-aware. Number one, what's going on? Number two, you have to be willing to lean into it and not run from it.
Yeah.
We want to run from everything that we don't want to see.
Yeah.
I was a runner for the longest time. I don't want to deal with that. That's not for me. I'm out.
Yeah. Well, I think in general, people do like growth. But if you're with a partner, you're with them all the time. You live with them. You sleep with them. You eat with them. There's going to be times where they bring something up. And it's going to just rub you the wrong way. So I guess it's also important how things are brought up and how, you know, if someone's your master, they're your trainer, you know, there's someone that teaches you how do you learn your person so that you can bring things up in a way that lets them know, I'm bringing this up because I love you and I care about you.
Yeah.
But I know for me, I hate when people point out my imperfections. It's like, oh, dang it.
Yeah, I saw that a whole different way. But you made a really good point that I was not really great at is how we bring up the challenge, how we communicate it.
Yeah.
For me, I was a communicator that would kind of talk to it. It was kind of harsh and bold.
Yeah.
I hope I've learned and I'm not like that anymore because, whoa, I'm like... When you start to heal those things, you kind of like recognize people around. You're like, oh my gosh, that was me. And you kind of like it's like the visualization of walking into a room and you kind of hide yourself and you go in the back. You're like, oh, dang it, that was me. And now I can say and laugh at it. I mean, I don't mean it's funny. I just go, well, that's why it didn't work.
Yeah.
That's why I came off and they didn't receive it well. That's on me.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful when you find that.
Yeah, it's beautiful when you find that self-awareness.
Yeah.
But it's also like, how did I not see that sooner? How can next time when I have something that is just like we all have blinders on in certain areas?
Yeah.
Like, how can I get the blinders off sooner?
You have to have, I think, a really good partner that is a really good teacher.
Yeah.
A really good master to say, hey, by the way that you're speaking to me right now is not a way that I'm going to learn from you.
Yeah.
You're coming off very harsh to me, and that's not how I'm going to receive it well.
Yeah.
In that moment. And then they're like, oh, I'm sorry.
Or just finding practices that make you incredibly self-aware, journaling. We talk about that a lot.
You know, taking five, like taking a moment. But I don't know if it was Mel Robbins or Brené Brown or whoever said it, but it was, I liked how they both walked into their household after going to work or coming back from work or wherever they were for that day. And they said, kind of, where are you at? You had a 10 or you had a 1? And where they were mentally. And it was like, one was at a 5, one was at a 10. Okay. And then the person with was having the least worst day, they kind of helped out.
I think that's Brené Brown with her husband, Steve.
Yes. So I thought, well, that's really cool that they would choose to communicate in such a beautiful way to say, here's me.
Here's where I'm at.
Here's where I'm at. And you know what? You don't need to you don't need to guess where I'm at.
Yep.
You don't need to take my crap. You don't need to take my anger that day.
Yep.
It's just, here's where I'm at.
Yep.
And that's the importance of communication. I like check-ins. Like once a week check-in or maybe on a Sunday check-in and like, where are you at? How was your week?
Yeah, there's little check-ins throughout the day, but then like one like very specific moment in a week where you're like, we and are.
I like that. That works for me in a relationship because I'm an overthinker. I tend to overthink.
Yeah.
I don't want to put label on it.
Yeah.
I'm learning that too. It's like, I'm not a this, I'm not a that.
Yes, don't identify with it.
That's how my brain works.
Yeah.
I tend to overthink and I don't want to overthink, but unfortunately I'm not to that place where I can feel peace and calm.
Yeah.
In a storm.
More work to do.
You know?
Yeah. It's like,
I'm in a storm.
Yeah.
And
I want to go back to something we were talking about a second ago. The practice of being more aware. And we mentioned journaling, we mentioned having a really good teacher, but what are some things you found in your life practically that have, like you said, you had these moments of self-awareness where all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, that was not a kind way to speak. And you had that like moment of self-awareness. And like we said, there's journaling, there's, you know, having a good partner. What are some things that either brought you that self-awareness to that quicker, to that spot of self-awareness quicker? What are some practical practices you've used or could use for anyone listening?
You know, brought me there quicker is the pain I was in.
Yeah.
The pain and the hurt and the regret.
Pain is a great motivator.
Pain is a great motivator. Yeah. It's really in the, I learned self-awareness in the pain because the pain teaches me that something's off. And I want to go to myself first and not point it at a finger to somebody else. They get to be who they want to be, no matter what. What did I cause or how did I cause such pain in somebody else if that's the feedback I'm getting?
Yeah.
And so I would assess myself. I would sit down and take the time to write or to think, how could I have done that better?
Yep.
I don't want to hurt that person.
Yep.
Dang it, that might, I wasn't, well, if I could redo it.
How can someone get to self-awareness before the pain?
Sometimes you can.
Yeah.
You know, you can do better once you get there. But I think the pain got me there.
Yeah.
Pain is growth.
Yeah, it is.
You know, pain equals growth. And I'm willing to feel the pain and the hurt today. I wasn't willing to feel the pain or the hurt. I would shove it down so deep and I would tell myself, you're so strong, you can handle this.
Mm.
It came from the strength.
Or this
the thought
feeling of, like you needed to be strong.
Yeah. It's the thought that I had to be strong in throughout my life. And then it's the thought of, it's the thing in me that was like, but I don't want to be strong right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to. I want to be able to feel. I want to be human. I wasn't allowing myself to be human. And until I made that choice to stop living behind perfectionism, to stop living behind this world that I created in my own mind.
Yep.
And even you have to get to that point.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You have to be exposed.
It's totally.
The exposure.
Yep.
The exposure of the dark shadows that are inside of you, the shadow side of you, that exposes the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't want to see their shadow side.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Nobody wants to see that.
No.
And you know, it's funny. It's like you only see a shadow when the light is shining on something, right? That's when you see the shadow.
Yep.
And as kids, we loved our shadows, right? We were like, ooh, look at these things that I can do with my shadow.
Shadow puppets. Yeah.
So I kind of leaned into it and like, what's in my shadow?
Yeah.
I made friends with my shadow. What's there? Why is it there? What is it caused in me and in other people? You know, that's, you get curious about your life and yourself, and then you expose it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're not afraid to apologize or to say, hey, by the way, I just became aware of this and I'm really sorry.
Mm.
I didn't intentionally mean to hurt you, but I've realized now that because I wasn't willing to look at it, or didn't even know that I wasn't willing to look at it.
Yeah.
That hurt you.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hurt you.
There's times I've had an awareness of something and I was scared to apologize because I thought apologizing would almost like bring it to light. I'm like, oh, maybe they didn't even notice that. It's like, they noticed. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's this feeling of like, if I bring it up, then that's just bringing attention to the fact that it happened. And I've gone, every time I've thought that, I've been wrong. If I notice it, they did. It's so much easier to see something in someone else. So if I noticed I did something that was hurtful to my partner or even just a friend, it's like, yeah. If I notice it, they did too. Say something.
Yeah.
Being silent will never make it go away.
I've kind of made it a habit just to be honest.
Yeah.
No matter what the feedback is.
Yeah.
I'm willing to accept the feedback. And when you get to that place, it sucks. It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It is so horrible because I have to then realize that the person that I thought that bubble that I'm in, we're all walking in of like who we think we are.
It's shattered.
Shattered.
Yeah.
It's now just exposed.
Yeah. We talked about ego a little bit yesterday. And do you think it's ego that keeps us from wanting to admit there's something inside of us? Or is there more than that? Is it fear? It's like, shoot, I don't want to. Or is it all ego? Does it all come from ego?
Well, I think ego teaches us fear.
Yeah.
Ego wants to be satisfied. Ego wants to not be wrong. Ego totally. Wants to be fed that we're so great, right? Yeah. And it's not that we're not great.
Yep.
It's that in order to really be great, you have to know your weaknesses.
If it's all ego, there's no room for
there's
that.
No room for compassion. There's no room for that negativity. There's room for relationships.
Yeah.
It's just about me then. It's what works for me. It's feeding. That's why that thing, it's like feeding your ego.
Yeah.
Well, it's truth. If you're constantly feeding your ego and other people are feeding your ego, who are you ever considering other than yourself?
Yeah.
It's just about you.
Yeah.
So I think we walk around this world. We don't even know that we're getting our ego fed, and we don't even know that we want to get our ego fed. It's when we.
It's very natural.
It's very natural.
To want to feel, it feels amazing to be given compliments or like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, when we walk around, we're like, oh, you're so this and you're that. Look at people's responses. If people respond with like, geez, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You could tell them that like they had a doubt within them and they're like, whoa, somebody else recognized me. Or if you tell somebody, and I'm not saying this is like, what I'm saying is like that I know everything. I'm just saying how I view it is that, and if somebody's, you know, feeding your ego and they're just like, just a jerk, like they're like, I already know that. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? There's a difference. And I think some people too, because of their ego, live a life that they don't really want to live, but their ego is in the way, right? Yeah. If you just expose the ego, what you're really doing is saying, hey, you know what, move aside, because I want this other thing to come forward, and I don't want to live from that, even though I think we need a little bit of it, because it's kind of like our motivation in life sometimes. I think there's a healthy ego, but if it's the ego that's just selfish and is not allowing myself to view myself as a whole,
as the negative parts too,
the balance.
Yeah. Was going to ask, it's like, it's obviously in life, like we want to do good things. We want to love people well. We want to, you know, build a business that is successful. And all of those things would bring these compliments, these things that would feed ego. Mm-hmm. And so that's not all necessarily bad, but what is the cost of ego in the context of relationship?
Well, the cost is your relationship.
Yeah.
You're not going to survive. A relationship is relatable. We relate to each other. How can we get to the point where we relate to each other?
Yeah.
I call it a one-sided ship. You know, it's not a relationship. It's a situationship, they say. I think it's a one-sided ship. It's just your side.
But there are people that I think are happy to just be in a partnership.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is not for everybody.
Yeah.
We're talking about things that people that are really, that are willing to
want to go to,
they want to go to a different level
of depth
of a relationship. I'm not saying this is for everybody. This is just really, you know, dear to my heart.
Yeah.
It is something that I think, even on a human level, we'll understand each other better in the world if we just learn to relate to each other and not try to use our egos to convince people that they're right or wrong.
Totally.
It's not about that.
Yeah.
It's about relating.
Yeah. And we touched on this a little bit earlier. It's like the growth is painful, but the reward on the other side of it is a deepening of life, a deepening of love, a deepening of joy.
You're a team no matter what.
Yeah.
And not in a team, you both have a position to play. And the team helps, you know, being a team creates a win.
Yeah.
Being a team, y'all lose together.
Yeah.
You win together.
Yeah.
Being a part of a team, it's not like, well, you know, that person just caused us to lose the game.
Yeah.
You're a team. You support each other.
Yep.
When maybe that person made a wrong move, I'll just take football, and they fumbled the ball and lost the game and whatever. Well, when we fumble the ball as human beings in a relationship, is our partner going to ridicule us? Are they going to, hey, like, you know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
I fumble too.
Yeah. Great sports analogy.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, thanks. But that's my point. My point is in relationship is we start to tend to look at what is only for us. And we stopped thinking about how we can be for the other person. In order to do that, we have to peel all the layers back to allow that person in us, that beautiful, loving person in us, to be exposed to say, no matter what you do, I'm here for you. And no matter what, it has to be reciprocal.
Yeah.
And if it's not, then one's going to feel drained and working all the time. And the other one's just going to feel like they get everything that they need. It's never going to work.
Yeah. I think that, and then blame comes in. So, and then blame goes back and forth because then someone makes a mistake and they get blamed and then they maybe let off a little bit and then the other person blames them and then they blame, and it just goes back and forth. And it's not, how do you get out of that back and forth of blaming, you know, when someone's made a mistake in a relationship and they get blamed and then the other person maybe gets a little lazy or does something that because they're like, well, they did this so I can do this. And
accountability.
Yeah.
Where are you accountable in it? Remove yourself. Stop thinking about them.
Do you want a healthy relationship?
Yeah.
It's
I don't think people even know it. I don't think some people just like, they don't even know what that even is because they're just like, this is how I do life. And and you get to choose a partner that if that's where you're at and you just want to stay where you're at and you just want to go out and enjoy life and you know, don't think about this deep stuff, then go find that person because there are people out there that, you know, that want to live and just enjoy life and they don't, you know, they don't think about this other stuff. I like depth.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
I know you do.
I don't I don't really talk to people on this level.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that like in a bad way. I'm like, I'm so good. Like, no, for me, I like to get to know people.
You like to get to the real.
Yeah. Like, let's be real quickly. Together.
When we started this podcast, I was meaning to ask how it felt since you launched your first one and we got on YouTube, we got on Apple Podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts now.
Yeah.
And we totally skipped over and just went right into the, the teeth.
One of the things that I am learning today is to celebrate myself, which is, seems very weird. I don't know why, but it does.
Hmm.
Because I don't really think of the things that I do as things that I want to achieve. It's things that I want to help other people feel like they belong.
Yeah.
And
which is beautiful.
And I don't look at it like, that's great and that's awesome. But I'm not doing it for any accolades. I'm doing it because I want people to be able to relate to each other.
Yep. But if this podcast does in fact help someone do that, it should be celebrated.
It should be. And in that moment, yes, we
and
get to celebrate
that. You don't even have to take it as like, I'm celebrating me. Just go, I'm celebrating that something I did hopefully connected with someone. Yeah. You know, I know you've been getting texts over the past week and different things, and it's been so exciting to see. And it's like, yes, it's not, it doesn't need to go straight to your ego. Yeah. It goes to, if my goal in life is to help others love bravely, the podcast I released last month or last week or whenever it was, help do that.
Yeah.
That should be celebrated. Yeah. And that's such a cool thing.
I've worked so hard on like not going there.
Yeah.
Like I've worked really hard. It's been my prayer for so many years. Like, don't go there. Don't get lost in that.
Mm.
And I've literally prayed for that. Please don't let me get lost. Please don't let me forget where I came from. And that is the, I want to remain humble in life.
Do you feel like you have a tendency to do that, though? Like,
all the
time. An alcoholic can't just have one drink. Next thing you know, they're like 30 beers in right. and they're like, you know, sleeping
it's
in the
my
bathroom.
Addiction. Yeah.
Yeah. It's do you think that?
Yeah, I do. I think it's my addiction to stay humble. And I think it's my job to stay humble.
I'm saying, do you feel like you have a tendency to go, because you're obviously very passionate about remaining humble. Do you think you have a tendency to go straight into your ego and go like, one person, or you celebrated yourself once and all of a sudden the next thing you know, you're just like.
I see what you're saying. No, I don't think that way. I think.
Then let yourself celebrate, damn it.
I'm hard on myself a little bit. I think I'm hard on myself and I'm learning.
Yeah.
I'm learning. I really am. It feels very.
That plane sounds really low.
Yeah, they do. Because the airport's over there. Oh. They tend to, I don't know.
Cool.
Just sending it to my kids is very strange for me because. And they're like, oh my gosh, mom, that's so awesome. And, you know, and something inside of me is like, weird. That feels weird. Oh, I hope I, that's probably my insecurity, right? Like, yeah. it's that's my place where I get to still, you know, where I don't think we all reach that, you know, we all are, it's like an evolving. And the more and more, like, you bring, you make me aware of that, I'm like, you make me think about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I didn't really view it that way or see it that way. And that's the beautifulness of allowing people to teach you and be your teachers, right?
Yes.
Your masters.
Yes. It's so cool.
And I get to say to myself, that's a good point. I don't know why, but that does. And if I'm feeling that, that does feel very weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to, you know, I don't have to, I get to figure out where that comes from and be able to give myself that compassion and that grace, and not to think that because I'm celebrating something that it's coming from my ego. And that's just something that I also get to work on.
Yeah.
You know, my old therapist would say, you're just not very, like I said before, not a very compassionate person. I was like, I got offended.
What'd you say to me?
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
I'm a very compassionate person.
Yeah.
But no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I kind of was judgmental and I expected people to be how I was in life because I was very hard on myself. So, you know, that can be a whole nother podcast, but that's, you know, you're exposing the judgment, you're exposing these things. And once they get exposed, you're like, okay, cool.
There they are.
There they are. Yeah. There you are.
Well, I think what you're doing is brave. And I know like when we first started filming, I mean, we started talking about this a year ago, we filmed podcasts that never came out, you know, a while ago. And I think, actually going, putting this out, you know, formulating well-articulated thoughts on camera, that's going to go out on the internet is brave.
Thanks.
And exploring the parts of you that you don't like is brave.
It's not this one, this conversation for me, for some reason, is not easy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, wow, this is really challenging. It's not, I don't feel like it's challenging for me.
Yeah.
But I'm like, wow, it's not my, it's not a, like my, you know, normal. I was like, this is really getting to the bottom of things. And
well, it's living out your, the name of the brand, Loving Bravely.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
It's like, it takes,
you
know, everything we talked about today, you know, ego, shame, blame, you know,
feeling guilty,
expectation, all of that. It takes bravery to address those things in your life. And I think that's just the journey you're on. And that's what I've learned from you. It's like, how can we love people? And it takes bravery to love people. It takes bravery to address ego. It takes bravery to accept the things about yourself that you don't like, see your dark shadows and change them. So I just really appreciate the conversation.
Yeah.
I thought it was awesome.
Thanks for helping me expose myself. What a gift.
Awesome.
Cool.